This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. I think that's right. Feel pretty good about that. I'm off on a hot streak this morning already. Today on the radio show, it's Thursday, and so We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we have the return of Kevin Cerrito for Writer Then Write Trivia. Last week, Jeffrey, we had fake Writer Then Write Trivia.
We did.
We had fake Writer Then Write Trivia with me presiding, yes. And as is customary, that's the only time you lose, mm-hmm. But it was, in fairness...
It was a back-and-forth affair. I got beat.
The question that stumped...
I got beat at the line of scrimmage, Jeff.
The question that got you was a little deceptive. And
the plastic bag question. Yeah.
And your contestant was sensational. He was terrific. And so we can only hope that we can continue the losing streak. It's a little bit like Alabama football, really.
No, I mean, I threw a pick six, and then just got beat at the line of scrimmage.
You're kind of stunned when it happens. Why? My God. The Colossus went down, and then you're saying it can't happen 2 weeks in a row, right? Anyway, we will play Writer Then Write Trivia. Jeffrey, do we have a fabulous prize?
So, Jeff, I believe we have a mega prize pack. So we for certain have four tickets to see the Black Crows. I believe it's next Tuesday night, so it's the 15th at Bank Plus Amphitheater. But I believe also, Jeff, don't we have some...
Well, so here's the question. Joe Sills, who is an outdoors writer from the area, grew up in Brownsville. His dad was a conductor, a band leader, high school band, legendary high school band conductor, and I've got to know him over the years. And now he writes. He has built quite a life. He travels the world and writes about it. And he is offering. Four tickets? Was it four tickets last I saw? Four tickets. Let's just see. He is offering four tickets to the St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. Six tickets. Club level, first row.
Those are great seats.
Here's the thing, though. This is what he said. I'd like to give them to some people who might not otherwise be able to go. A family of four and a couple. So what if we give this, what if we give this to, you know, and the person who beats you is a mega billionaire who has season tickets? Or not season tickets, but
usually
whatever.
Usually mega billionaires aren't listening at 10:30 on a Thursday.
They are too. This is essential mm-hmm. listening. All right, so what we're going to do is, let's do this. Let's give the two away.
Okay.
And then we'll give the four away tomorrow to some deserving caller. How about that?
All right, that sounds good. So we have four tickets to see the Black Crows. Oh, yeah. I do think both are on the same night. We'll also have 901 Wrestling tickets. That show is October the 20th, so a week from Sunday, 5
p.m. Two tickets to the...
Correct.
North Carolina, you get to see North Carolina play the Memphis men and South Carolina play the Memphis women at the Extravaganza Tuesday night. And again, we continue, as is the official position of 92.9. It feels like across all the shows to urge you to give, buy tickets and give to St. Jude and all of that. But you can also win them now. And then tomorrow we'll give away the four. And tomorrow when we give away the four, we're going to ask people, do you really qualify as a family that wouldn't otherwise be able to go? Because if you do, we'll give them to you. We'll do that tomorrow by phone call. But today we are going to put the two tickets in the prize pack. And thanks to Joe Sills for doing this. It's very kind, And honestly, we're happy to give away anything. If anyone else wants to buy tickets to the event and have us give them away, we're happy to do that too, because we do support that effort. So, fabulous prize pack. That's the second hour. Chris Harrington joins us, and then we will play Writer Then Write Trivia. Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
There was a storm. It's left Florida now. Milton, did you watch any of the storm coverage last night?
Yeah, I did not. I'm not.
You don't watch storm coverage?
I don't get into that.
So
I understand there's, like, I saw all the links and whatnot.
By the way, game still on as of right now. And if we hear otherwise, be alert to it. We will let you know. Game is still on. Memphis playing South Florida, 2:30 Saturday, 2:30 Central Saturday. I am skeptical that it will go on. Are you skeptical that it will go on?
I am skeptical, but, you know, I haven't seen the damage.
One never knows.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the good news here is that it is not as bad as it could have been, by all accounts. And as you know, you have to trust me because I'm a meteorologist. It is not as bad as it could have been because it moved to the south. And so it was dramatic. It was massive. And it was not as bad as it could have been. Having said that, right now in Florida, roughly 10 million people don't have power. That's not 10 million units. It's 3 million. 3 million homes don't have power, but they average three a home.
Right.
So literally, think how you feel when you don't have power. And by the way, it's a lot. If you don't have power and it's just 700 people in your neighborhood, then you have some confidence it's going to be restored pretty quickly. If you don't have power and it's 3 million outages, I don't think you can have the kind of confidence that you're going to be up by noon today. There have been deaths largely, it feels like, tornado related. The hurricane spun off tornadoes. I know four people were killed in Port St. Lucie, maybe. So there is massive, massive outages, damage, all of that. It is just not as horrific as one feared it might be. It was interesting. I don't watch the Weather Channel. That is not something I do. I don't really. I'm not locked in on weather. On any given day, I've got no idea what the weather's going to be until I walk outside. Then I what it is until I walk outside, and I have no idea what it's going to be. I'm not someone who checks the weather.
I only check the weather if I want to play golf.
And I don't really ever watch the Weather Channel. And yet last night we had heard, it is interesting, isn't it? Helene turned out to be absolutely horrific, the impact of Helene. And yet I wasn't watching the Weather Channel. We knew it was coming.
Right.
We knew it was coming. And I think it's the combination of what Helene, the reason that this one became such a huge focus was what Helene did. And so it reminded us of the potential for disaster here. And then
it was an opening act.
And then the sheer size. Yeah, it got people warmed up. Got the country warmed up for hurricane season. And that's trivializing the massive damage in North Carolina, which I do not mean to do, in East Tennessee and wherever else. But so then we were keenly aware of the damage potential. And then the sheer size of this hurricane is the other thing that I did get the sense that America was watching hurricane coverage last night.
It was hyped up pretty good, too.
And it was definitely, well, hyped up appropriately, inappropriately, whatever else, yes. And it is interesting. I did find watching it, I'm not saying they were rooting for the hurricane, right? I'm not saying they were rooting for the hurricane. But, like, they were desperate to find things that were falling
I think they
over.
Were rooting for the story. I'm not saying rooting for the hurricane. They were rooting for the story.
They were definitely rooting for the visuals, for the, like, if there was, at one point I saw one plane upside down, and they're like, oh, look, A plane is up. It was a private, is a little, you know, single engine plane, whatever else, upside down. And honestly, so they're standing out there in the wind, it's whipping around and the waves are coming up, and they kept going to, I was watching CNN. Is it Boris in Tampa? I think it was Boris in Tampa. This is terrible. It didn't look that bad. Like, it looked bad. Looked bad. But given what I had been expected, which is a 15-foot wall of water sweeping everything in front of it, it just wasn't. It wasn't. Let's be honest. It wasn't. And that's a great thing. That is a great thing. And I think even they would acknowledge it's a great thing. The news people would acknowledge it's a great thing. But at the time, you kind of wanted a visual of a building falling over, is what it felt like they wanted, right? Yes.
They wanted the visual of the Tropicana coming down in Vegas with the fireworks and everything.
Something. You got to give the people something. So it was interesting to watch, because you did just get the sense, that they were, of course they weren't rooting for the hurricane. They weren't rooting for death. They weren't rooting for destruction. But they are in the visual business, right? That's why they're standing. That's why they're standing outside. And so it was fascinating to watch it unfold. And thank God it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And it is going to be a massive, massive, massive disaster. But I've heard from a lot of people, and happily, they're reporting in, my family's fine. Drew Hill's parents live down there. They didn't lose self-service. They did during the last one, whatever. Like, it's not as bad as it could have been. And that is a great thing. And still there's 10 million people roughly without power in Florida. Is that half?
Yeah.
Half the Floridians?
I think it's 25 million. Let me double check.
So then the question is of the game. And, of course, let's just be clear. Whatever happened with this hurricane could have, if 50 miles offshore of the hurricane had said, you know what, never mind, and it just disappeared, still the right decision would have been to move the game. Let's be honest here. The right decision is to move the game. Because there's plenty of places you could have moved the game to.
Yes.
The right decision was to move it to Birmingham.
21 million, by the way.
Or to move it to Memphis. Or
Charlotte, wherever. I don't care. There's plenty of places.
That was the right decision. This decision was irresponsible. And as I said yesterday, it almost feels immoral just because of what you're saying. You're faced with a massive possibility of disaster. And you say, yeah, let's just wait and see. It's just such a bad look that they, even if they can go ahead and play it, which, by the way, I do not believe they will. Do you believe they will? I don't know how you can. In the midst of all these people without power, how can you devote a single cop?
I mean, I just don't know the game. I don't know the damage report, but I tend to be on your side on this. But I also think I don't even look at it from a moral argument. This to me reeks of lack of leadership.
Well, no, I'm going to get to why in a minute. But it's to get to the lack of leadership, you have to first understand that it's the wrong answer. Why is it the wrong answer? Okay, so then why didn't they just move it? Because now we'll debate whether they play it, won't play it. I'll be surprised if they play it, whatever else.
I suspect they're not going to play it.
I suspect they won't play it.
No, I'm saying, like, at all, ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
I suspect they I'll be very surprised if they play it Saturday in Tampa. I'll go on a limb. But what you see, honestly, is this is kind of college football. There is no commissioner.
Yep.
You know? And so is it lack of leadership? Yes.
And even the conferences, new commissioner, it doesn't have.
Yeah, it's not just lack of leadership, like each individual failed.
Yep.
It's structurally set up that no one can say, if this were an NFL game, there was a big-ass snowstorm in Buffalo. What happens? The NFL decides to move it.
Yeah.
And whatever Terry Pegula thinks or whatever else, he may not want to give up the home game in Buffalo or whatever, doesn't matter. We're the NFL. We're moving the game. And honestly, it's a huge problem with college football generally. This feels like, Jeff, you are much bigger and better on European history than I was, mm-hmm. right? This feels like...
Well, there's a lot of it.
This feels like that. This feels like warring tribes and nation states. You know what I mean? When there was,
when everything was a feudal
whatever. Like it feels like that's what college football is.
When there was a German cousin on every crown or on every throne.
And so you got the warlord Greg Sankey running this group and the other whatever. And then you got the minor warlords, whatever. And it's just a.
And then Napoleon says, "I could beat all of them."
It's just the whole thing's a freaking mess. My understanding is, I heard more about this yesterday. My understanding is South Florida didn't want to get the game.
Yeah.
But then someone should be able to tell South Florida, I don't care, you're giving up the game. South Florida didn't want to give up, and you said this early in the week.
Yeah, you said this out immediately.
South Florida doesn't want to give up the game. Memphis would have been happy to move the game. Memphis would have much preferred to move the game. You move the game, you know you're going to play the game. The players are all understanding they're going to play the game, and so you're not practicing with, are we even going to play? Are we not going to play? And whatever. You can make your plans. It might be at the Liberty Bowl. That would be great, too. And Memphis would have been happy to move the game. I'm certain. I'm certain Memphis was not the obstacle, right? And I can't believe the conference was the obstacle. So it means Memphis didn't have the power. The conference didn't have the power. And South Florida, speaking in their own damn community, it feels like that's the entity that said, screw you, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, this is more speculation than anything. I just know that the whiffs that I get from Alex Golish, this just feels like an Alex Golish operation.
And those are, the whiffs are?
Very young football coach.
Tough guy.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Game's scheduled here. Now, I put most of the blame on South Florida. Like, if you're making me point the finger, I'm pointing the finger there. I think Memphis has also done a good job of like, well, we offered and whatnot. It's like, yeah.
What can Memphis do if South Florida doesn't want to give up the game and the commissioner isn't ordering them to give up the game? I don't know.
Memphis was very comfortable moving the game to Memphis without giving up next year's home game. I think that's true.
Oh, well, I think they're totally within their rights.
Correct. But like, it's not
they
as
They should
clear.
Not have had to give up last next
right,
year's home
but
game.
But it's also unclear to me, like, how willing were they to go to Charlotte? How willing were they to go to Birmingham?
My understanding is they were totally willing to go to Birmingham.
And so that's why in the end.
And here's the question. If they don't play it, is there any argument for a forfeit? In other words, if let's just, I'm going to hypothesize. Hypothetically, the conference in Memphis figure out, like, we can play this in Birmingham. Memphis is willing to play in Birmingham. The conference says, let's play in Birmingham. South Florida says, no, we're going to stick to our guns. We're not moving, blah, blah, blah. And now it doesn't get paid.
I'm going to let you play it out. The answer is going to be no, though. And you can maybe make the argument that on some integrity of competition.
But it's not reality. Literally accountability, whose fault it was.
Correct. You can make the argument.
Would be on accountability. It's your fault we didn't get this game in, so therefore you take the L.
That's just not going to happen.
That seems unlikely to me, too. But honestly, that's the problem with college football is there's no one to tell anyone that this doesn't make sense. So much of college football doesn't make sense. No one there to tell them that, the players really aren't amateurs. Like you want to pretend they're amateurs. No one to tell anyone anything.
No, I mean, to me, this same situation happened early in Sankey's tenure. Before Sankey really had like the big stick that he does. And it was an LSU Florida game, and both schools were taking advantage of a power void.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And like lo and behold, I want to say the game ended up getting played early before the SEC championship game, but the same thing happened. Like, they're both pointing the finger
at where we should play the
game. And I think it ended up getting played at like an empty Tiger Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we are there. We'll wait to hear. I'll be surprised if they play it, certainly Saturday in Tampa, but we will have a sense and I'm gratified. I'm gratified that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So there you go. We have other news, Jeffrey, the Grizzlies play Charlotte tonight. Ja, mild sprain. Taylor Jenkins did say they'll be careful with him going forward. So this is going to be like a, tonight's going to be very much a throwback night to last year.
Yes.
Go to FedEx Forum to not watch Ja.
Yeah, go to FedEx Forum to go watch
for the Chick-fil-A.
The hustle. Yeah.
Go for the it won't be that. You'll see Zach Edey. This is much, oddly, this is really true. I hate that. It's sad that I can say this. Tonight's game will be much more interesting than most of the regular season games last year as a home game.
If we took him away from the equation, how much different?
Then it would be. And then you can even say, well, yeah, then you don't have Gigi, you don't have Vince,
correct?
You don't have Zach, you don't have Ja, you don't have Jaron. It's starting to look a lot like last year.
Uh-huh.
But we got Zach Edey to look at, ladies and gentlemen, and Jake LaRavia. Okay, we had him last year. Very similar in many ways. So, but that is happening tonight. Does it bother you, or how problematic is it that we have spent the off season saying, you know, we never got to see these five players play together. We never got to see the starting lineup play together. And you just wait. When that starting lineup's back together, we'll and by the way, it's a mystery. We don't know how good they could be. We just need to see them together. And here we are, whole other preseason's going to go by, and we will once again never see them together.
It's not problematic yet.
I don't think it's problematic.
I mean,
they can get done in practice.
It's the preseason. I mean, if they really are going to do this new offense thing, I would prefer them to have reps, but I also acknowledge the 82-game season matters more. And so whatever you got to do to get everybody, as many people as possible, healthy to Utah night one, that's what you got to do. But, I mean, I do think the more and more you start to get these little nicks or cuts or soft tissue injuries, like, it does become a question to me of, are they overly cautious? Are they injury prone? Or do they have horrific injury luck? Like, it's probably a combination of all of these things. But, like, at a certain point, it does feel like the rate with the Grizzlies is at a higher rate.
How much does chemistry matter in terms of if they're to be the best version of themselves? Obviously, it depends on their good health. Does the fact that they are not having a preseason of playing together, is that part problematic?
Probably not. Just because, like, in the end, like, could it affect a game or two? And yes, we can always do the what if we get to the end of the year and, you know, the difference is a game.
Are they more likely to lose the opener to Utah?
Isn't your point they always lose the opener?
No, it's just anyway. This is all in the universe, by the way. Where LeBron James tweeted, I don't know if you saw this. Can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game? As the first respondent says, "Hey, LeBron, it's Greg. The reason for this is because if you were to drive there, it would take over 29 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing your coaches thought it'd be more efficient to fly. Hope this
On a charter.
By the way, on a charter.
Yeah, a charter with lay flats. Yeah.
If you're going to play preseason games, you're going to have to. But here's the point. It's a preseason game. It's practice, basically,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the essence of it. How important is it? I think it is. I think the point you make with the new offense, it is maybe more significant. We saw 23 turnovers the other night. It is maybe more significant that they have get a chance for the five to play together. But it is what it is. I'm not particularly alarmed by it. And so there you go. By the way, we did hear friend Jarvis points weighs in and says, in terms of the game, he says, precedent set by the NFL 10 days ago when Helene went by and the Bucks played in Raymond James that Sunday at noon.
Yeah.
Helene hit what day?
I thought it was like last.
I don't get the sense that Helene did as much damage to Tampa as Milton did.
So Kevin has family down there. There was a lot of flooding, but I don't know if that was, I don't know, like from a infrastructure, from that perspective, I don't know how damaging it was, but like,
it's pretty clear. What's going to happen today is the sun comes up and they assess the damage.
They're going
right?
to look around. Yeah.
They're going to look around and they're going to figure out if they can do it. And I'm you are confident we'll get a decision today, are you not?
Yes.
I am confident that we will get a decision today. All right. We're going to play Believe It or Not when we come back. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and Writer Than Write trivia after that. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're looking for a new financial institution, I would urge you to look at Leaders Credit Union the way that Claire and I have. You can learn more by going to leaderscu.com/ESPN. I've told you a million times now, great things about Leaders is because it's a credit union, exists only for the benefit of its members. And so they have things like the 4% APY forward plus high yield savings account. Right now, you can earn up to 4% APY on your savings in this account. And no balance tiers, minimums, requirements. Dividends will pay monthly. So that's the kind of thing they do over at Leaders. If you're looking for a car loan, if you're looking for a new financial institution, if you're looking for a mortgage, check out Leaders. We opened, we went into the Bartlett location and opened our new account. They have one that's going up in Arlington too, but the technology is fabulous. You just got to download the app and you can join that way. It's leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. Jeffrey, the Mets are the best story in baseball.
I do not believe this, and it's driving me insane. The best story in baseball is the Detroit Tigers.
The Tigers are the best story in baseball.
And I want to be very clear. Two things.
But the Mets are a good story.
Two things can be true. You can have the highest payroll in Major League Baseball and have a very tough team, and that's what I think they have. But this idea that there's some little plucky underdog, like the miracle Mets, it is driving me insane.
Are you generally anti-Met? Is that a
no,
thing you
it's,
are?
It's
you just don't like this being cast as
correct.
An underdog. When
the
they
underdog is the Detroit
payroll,
Tigers.
Whose own team had given up.
Correct.
On they both advanced. And yes, it's the more stunning story. The Tigers are the more stunning story.
Yes.
Looking at where they were earlier this year, we did have we had quite the phenomenon last night of the Dodgers, another plucky underdog team. Jeffrey needed eight pitchers. They used eight pitchers, and the Tigers used six pitchers, and they basically went in by bullpen. And
yeah.
Then there's just the Phillies losing by bullpen.
Yeah.
By the way, do you? Let me ask you this. Here, this has been a terrible 2 years for Philadelphia fans. Philadelphia sports fans writ large.
I mean, every team they have is good.
That's the thing. Unsportsmanlike.
I didn't know if you were going TV.
Unsportsmanlike this morning. I'm listening to it, and they got a Philly fan on there. One of their guys is a Philly fan. And just complaining about what a disaster it's been, right? Because the Sixers have disappointed in the playoffs, and the Phillies have disappointed twice now in the playoffs, right? And the Eagles fell apart last year, and the Flyers just stink, honestly. But the other three,
well, then the Flyers had the thing with their draft pick, who just like forced his way out.
Yeah, they did have but they got it. The Flyers have the Flyers now have a Russian guy named Michkov who's going to be unbelievably fun to watch. So I'm a little, even as a Sabres fan, I'm envious of the Flyers too. Even the freaking Flyers. But anyway, the point is this: is it bad? Is it a bad stretch as a sports fan to have to endure what the Sixers, the collapses of the Sixers, the Eagles and the Phillies, or is it you're lucky you got three teams that are in the hunt? Yeah, I say you're lucky you got three teams that are in the hunt.
Yeah, I'm this idea. I mean, yeah, they're not getting over the hump, but like, what is, does Philadelphia have a birthright to win a championship?
No, only one team's won a championship. Probably not going to win a championship. You got to go through you got to have an unbelievable regular season with the Phillies. They still have a massive payroll. They're still going to win big next year. Maybe next year's your year. Yes, this was disappointing. Kind of stunning, right? They're gone. Boom, done, over. Great
team.
Yeah,
that's baseball.
That's baseball. That's sports.
Well, this is also why.
How about Georgia last year? Has it been terrible to be a Georgia fan because they didn't win the title last year? Because they lost in the SEC championship game to Alabama? No.
No, and this is the other thing. It's like,
you're lucky.
Part of what makes baseball not a great regular season product is the same things that make it an unbelievable postseason product, where all the time in between the pitches, yeah, the building of the drama, and then the fact that you've played all these games and it can be over like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
Do you believe, by the way, that the bye is really, you know, the
oh no, that's why I'm also off. That's why I'm rooting for the Padres, because what actually drives me more insane than even the plucky underdog Mets, why do we not treat the Dodgers like the Yankees? That's what they are. Like, they're just buying the team.
They are. That is true.
And they get this free pass.
But what we're seeing is the teams that get the week off don't get hot. They're getting bumped. Does that bother you?
No. You get the home games. Like, you get to start. Like,
you don't have a chance of losing in the wild card round like everybody else does.
Yeah.
You get a free pass. I mean, you earned it.
You're into the division series.
Okay. Now that we've heard from Aaron Rodgers, you feel bad for saying he had anything to do with the departure of Robert Saleh.
I absolutely do not believe that.
He resents the implication. This is what he said. As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, and I think he was talking about you personally, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, he said, whereupon he spent more one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they are patently false. We're up to two sentences. It's interesting the amount of power that people think I have, which I don't. Three sentences. I love Robert. And went on from there.
He also said, I love Mike McCarthy, too. Does anyone believe that if Aaron Rodgers wanted Robert Saleh to be the coach, that he would still get fired?
Say that again?
If Aaron Rodgers wanted Robert Saleh to still be the coach, he would have still been
fired. Oh, 100%. Yeah, he'd 100% be coach. And honestly, I think it comes down to OC. You know what I mean?
They did announce that Todd Downing's going to call plays, so enjoy.
Todd Downing, who did such an electric job when he was with the Titans, is going to be calling the plays. So there you go.
Also, how many former Packers are now on the Jets? Nine? It's like this idea that he also lost the benefit of the doubt. Now, I also claim the media got absolutely hoodwinked. When he did that immunized line, I was like, oh yeah, he's not vaxxed. Like but everyone's
What did he say? Immunized?
I've been immunized. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, duh.
The problem is he has a reputation for lying.
Or parsing being words. Clever. Yeah.
Parsing words. And
it's a lawyer tactic. Like he's like, do I think he's the one that brought Robert Saleh into his office and said, you're fired? No. Do I think he could have stepped in and said, hey,
well, could his dissatisfaction with the offense and with Saleh been the reason that Saleh got fired, or been a contributing factor to the reason he got fired? I think he clearly could have stopped it. Anyway, that was the news. That was the news there. The most disappointing NFC team is the 49ers. It's interesting when you look at the NFC. You got the 49ers who are disappointing.
Who else would be
the candidates? You got the Eagles who are disappointing. I don't know if the Cowboys are disappointing.
I mean, they're three and two.
It is funny how framing it makes a difference. The Bills at 3-2 now, you feel different about them because they started at 3-0.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing what they did last year.
Well, the Cowboys have this weird thing where they've reversed what was always, they were always a great home team.
And they didn't even look good in that great in winning. You know, Dak,
yeah, I chalk that up to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like,
impossible.
Pittsburgh just gets into that game. Like, you think how bad we thought the Falcons looked week one. Like, they just get you into that game. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Can you be disappointing when you're that ravaged? You know, in other words, were the Grizzlies disappointing last year? The Grizzlies weren't disappointing last
year.
Yeah,
but they still have enough. Like, they should be better than 2-3. Now, some of it's like bad luck in the sense of your kicker gets hurt on a kickoff play and you can't kick a field goal, so you blow a 2-score lead. But that's kind of the other thing. They've blown 2-score leads, I believe, in all three losses. At least two of the three losses, they've blown double-digit leads in the second half.
You have a pretty good idea why the starting defensive back for the Memphis Tigers has just entered the portal. It's funny how this works, Jeffrey. Before you answer that, you just wake up on I guess it was yesterday we got the news, Wednesday. Taj Rahel, 19 tackles, has entered the portal. It's just another day in college football. What's going on there? You tell me that. Starts for this.
So he keeps his last year of eligibility.
Yep,
so either he was told he's getting bumped down the depth chart, or he's sitting there going, I've only got one more year left.
And I got some money I could cash in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does it matter in terms of whether we bemoan the state of college football? Does it matter which one of those is? In other words, if I heard that someone was playing really well and had gotten an offer under the table from somewhere else, hey, you take a year off, come here, we can pay you X, I would say, God, that's not how it's supposed to go. I'd kind of bemoan it, right? Whereas if I heard guy's getting bumped, he's only got 1 year left, he's not going to start, and then he decides to take his year off,
yeah,
and I'm like, good for him. I'm glad he has the option. But shouldn't the flexibility to cash in, should I applaud it either way? Should I bemoan the first and applaud the second? Or,
I mean, I think the real answer is we should have a system where this really doesn't, like,
we should have a system where this doesn't happen.
Like, the idea that, and again, like, this is not judging the young man for the decision he made. Like, he has every right to make that decision, but it's like, I don't think it's insane to think we should have a system where you have to play the season with your team.
That you can't. No, but what does that mean? Like, we don't make people can quit in the middle of seasons. They're allowed to quit in the middle of seasons. And what if it's just like, I'm done with football, I've decided my heart isn't in it anymore. People have done that for years. And so how do you,
that's not what he's doing.
That's not what he's doing. But how do you I'm litigate just saying, like, against, how do you regulate against it without being able to look in their hearts? You know what I mean?
It's the simple answer. They have to have contracts.
They have to have contracts.
And one thing that always gets left out of this discussion, are we sure the players want to be employees? If you're a player, don't you kind of like this system?
Well, that's interesting.
You truly are a free agent every day.
It's funny, because normally when a college administrator says, I talk to the players, they don't want to be players, I think that's total horse
100% agree.
It's the same thing when someone says, you realize they're going to have to pay taxes. I'm like, oh, wait a second. You get $100,000, and because you have to pay 20 grand of that in taxes, better not to have the $100,000? What kind of moron are you?
Right.
You expect me to buy that argument? They don't even want to be employees. All the regulations and all the red tape and all the... It's like convincing people that
yeah, that doesn't pass the smell test.
That's nonsense.
Yes.
But the point that you make...
They get to be free agents.
This Wild West thing is actually... Now, on the other hand, you can have a university which says... We're not paying the NIL. There's no contract here. We don't have to pay you.
Yeah, but you just get in the portal again.
Yeah, but if you're not good, you're not protected. If you have a contract, you're protected.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's an interesting It's an interesting way to do it. Hey, Jeffrey, you agree with Rick Spell that the bitching and moaning is out of control. And I say this because I wrote a column today. Rick Spell owns Brookhaven and Babalu. And then he has six restaurants. He and his daughter, Christy, they have six restaurants in,
got a couple down
in Florida,
yeah,
as well.
Down Panhandle.
And he wrote a column. He wrote a column. He basically did write the column. What happened was, I'm sitting on my couch, actually. And I don't know if it was a call or a text. But Rick had just gone and met with the police because he was unhappy because there was an incident over at Brookhaven Circle. And it took 3 hours for the cops to get there.
Yeah.
And so Rick, who's a significant booster of Memphis Athletics and and who's invested in emotionally and financially in the city, obviously worked for a long time for Raymond James, Morgan Keegan, then Raymond James. Anyway, he set up a meeting with the police chief, and he's going there to, you know. And he just came away, and he was really impressed. And so he said, you know, I should call or text Calkins. So he did. So I went over to Brookhaven, and I had some chicken tenders. And we,
the John Martin?
I did the John Martin. No, I got the burger, but they said the chicken tenders are so good, we should have them as an appetizer. So I had some chicken tenders as an appetizer. How about that, Jeffrey? Chicken tender appetizer and then a burger. Anyway, and he just talked about Memphis and crime and the crisis. But his fundamental view was, well, a couple things. One is, obviously, the pandemic has created, we talked about this yesterday with Sam Hardiman. The pandemic has created this explosion of crime. And so one of the things he asked Chief Davis was, can we ever get it like back to like normal crime? Like, you know, pre-pandemic crime.
Yeah.
And he came away hopeful, not at all naive. Like, he says he spent however many tens of thousands of dollars now on security guards in parking lots. Like, you have to have it.
Right.
Now,
he's not saying it's going to become a utopia.
He's not, yeah. or that it's good, or that it's not a problem or anything else. But some of his quotes, in addition to what he had to say about the police, were just kind of interesting. And they resonated with me because this is what he said. Look, I want to live here, and my wife definitely wants to live here. I live here now because this is my community. We enjoy going to Tiger basketball games, football games. It's where we know all the people. This is where I live. I have a home in Florida. It's a really nice home, and it's in a really nice area. I'm sure I could get to know all the people there, but I know plenty of people here, and this is where we want to be. Goes on to say, some of it is our attitude. And if you say that, people will say you're crazy for saying it. I know we've got a problem. We've got a serious problem. We can all sit here and bitch and moan about the serious problem, and we can chase a few more people out of town. But I choose to not lead my life negatively. I'm just not going to do it. I'm a big believer that if you want to whine and bitch and moan about crime here, then leave. Go ahead. I hate to say it, but the negativity is dragging us all down. And then he says, there are a lot of people here who are complaining that are not taking the time to look at the positives. It's really prevalent in sports and things like that, too. It's always, let's talk about how bad it is, how terrible. Then you need to go somewhere else because it's messing with my mind being around the negativity. I'm very serious about what I just said. We just don't choose to live our life negatively. And there's a heck of a lot here. There's a heck of a lot of things to be positive about living here. So I'll rephrase it, Jeffrey. Do you believe that the negativity is dragging us down?
No, but I do find myself agreeing with him. Like, I do think the crime is dragging us down.
I think there's two things. I think both things.
But I do not think the negativity helps.
The negativity would not exist but for the crime.
Correct.
If we had no crime tomorrow, the negativity would vanish, right?
Yes.
So there's no question that is the biggest problem. The reality is the biggest problem. I do think the negativity exacerbates the problem.
Totally agree.
And I mean, it's just like the day that I spent Saturday. I spent a day. Now, mind you, I'm a lucky Memphian. I get to do this. But I spent the day Saturday hiking in Shelby Forest, then going to an art thing, art show, which wasn't really my, but with Claire on Saturday in Evergreen. And then I went to Mempho Fest Saturday night. And it was, the whole thing was just delightful. Absolutely delightful from morning until night. Absolutely delightful. I can, I was talking to some people at the University of Memphis yesterday at lunch. And someone asked me, he said, I heard you once say that you've lived in New York and Manhattan. I mean, that is Manhattan.
D.C., Miami.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and but then your best years, your happiest years have been in Memphis and Buffalo.
Was it Sydney or Melbourne?
It's Melbourne. And that's just true. It's just true. My happiest years have been here. And for I loved what Rick Spell said. Like he does, he gets to meet with the police because he's a significant, so whatever. But he's invested in the place. I what I love was I want to live here. I know everybody here. This is where I'm comfortable. This is where my friends are here. And I guess I could go to Florida and make all new friends, but I like it here. And so there's a fine line between not being closed-minded and having your head in the sand about the reality, not ignoring real problems, and being a megaphone who is just drowning people out, marinating with those problems all the time. Like, I don't know, like, if you see, everyone's on Facebook lately, people are posting Memphis. There's some ranking that Memphis is one of the 10 most dangerous cities in the world or something like that, whatever. Everyone is reposting that. If there was a ranking, I've seen it everywhere. If there was a ranking of Memphis as one of the, 10 easiest places to commute in the world, which I also saw recently in the country, right? Whatever. No one's reposting that. You know what I mean? No one's saying, hey, look at this. Look at this.
It's almost like as soon as they would see something that is a headline that would be a positive headline,
they would
immediately go, 10 most dangerous. Look.
Yeah, they hit you with the. It's just like it gets to be unrelenting. And so it's funny because I don't necessarily endorse everything that Rick said. I don't know that I have confidence in Chief Davis one way or another. I tend to be a little skeptical if you want to know the truth. Right. I didn't understand why she kept her job. After the Tyree Nichols stuff on top, mostly, but whatever. But if you hear so much about restaurant owners who are fed up and close their restaurants and get the hell out of town, like every time one of those people, I don't mean those people because those people are good people too. They've done their best. I don't mean it like it wasn't. But anytime one of those stories, we hear it, we write the story and it goes blows up and everyone reads it and they take it as evidence of what a horrible place this is. I thought it was kind of maybe helpful to when a guy who owns prominent restaurants in town tells me how hopeful he is to give that equal time. That's about it. And so that's what I did. People can read that column over at the Daily Memphian. All right, we got to take a break. Did you see Nadal's retiring?
Yeah.
That makes you sad?
It did. Because, and especially after Djokovic got the gold medal, it's like I got nothing now. Because the only argument I had was he doesn't have a golden slam.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well.
That's tough.
I don't feel that,
No, he's super
rich. I'd say being a Nadal fan, better than being a Phillies fan.
That's 100% true. I also think it's unfair to Nadal. Nadal has this reputation that he's like Juan Carlos Navarro, where he's just like a dirt dauber, and he's all like a clay court specialist.
Yeah, just like, wins with relentless determination.
Like, he's won every Grand Slam at least twice. He's won 4 U.S. Opens.
All right, we got Chris Harrington next. Then we're going to play Right in the Right Trivia. Busy second hour. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.